You can clap your hands to this one. Let's use claps of hands.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, everyone. So glad to be with you again tonight. Thank God for his goodness. We're bringing the word to you tonight, and I thank God for the opportunity to share his word with you tonight. There's a lot that we're going to share tonight, so let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time together with your people, Father God, a time of teaching, a time for you to teach us your ways, Father God, a time for you to reveal yourself to us through your word. So Lord, I pray right now that wherever we are in the world, Father God, that our hearts and our minds will be open to you, Father God. Lord, that we may receive your word with gladness, and we'll also be doers of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So saints, as we continue this month, the theme has been partnering with the Lord. So tonight we're going to continue on that theme. And if I was to name my topic tonight, it would be partnering with the Lord through keeping our word. So I want us to get directly into the scriptures. I want to first establish a statement that the Lord God himself made. So if we can turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, we're just going to read those verses in its entirety, and then we'll get into the topic of what we're going to discuss today. Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version, so you can follow along in that version if you have it. So the word says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I have said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you, you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance a land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord that God himself said to Joshua. Moses is now dead. You are taking over. Be strong, be courageous. Joshua, keep my word, keep my commandments, and if you do that, you will prosper wherever you go. So I declare that over our lives today on January 23rd, 2022. I declare that over your life. Be strong in the Lord, be courageous, keep his commandments. And the Lord, as the Lord said to Joshua, so it is for us, that he will prosper us wherever we go and in whatever we do. Now, again, the message that I'm going to be teaching tonight is partnering with the Lord through keeping his word. Now let's turn to Joshua 9. I'm going to summarize Joshua 9, verse 1 to 27. It's too much reading for the time that we have, so I'm just going to summarize what happened right before Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. As we know, the children of Israel now crossed over the Jordan, led by Joshua, and they came into the land. And Joshua, they attacked Jericho, as we know. Jericho was the first place that they came upon. But at Jericho, they met up with a harlot. The spies that went out to spy the land met up with a harlot named Rahab. And we know that she protected the spies from the people of the land. And she said that, "I know, I've heard of the children of Israel. I know that God is with you. I know that you're going to destroy the city. So I pray to you to have mercy upon me and my household. Spare us from being destroyed." And the spies gave their word, made a covenant, same thing. They gave their word that the same scarlet rope in which they escaped with, if she had that rope hanging over her window, when they came to devour that city, that there would spare her and her family. So the spies went back and told Joshua the covenant that they made with Rahab. And Joshua said, "We will do exactly as you have covenant with her." And that's exactly what happened. They destroyed the city, but they spared Rahab and her entire household, and they dwelt with the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 1 to 27, the children of Israel destroyed Jericho. They destroyed another city named Ai, and now they are there advancing in the land. And there are these people called the Gibeonites, the people of Gibeon. They said, "Listen, we don't want to die. We know the children of Israel are going to destroy the inhabitants of this land. So we are going to devise a plan. We are going to pretend we're going to send ambassadors to the children of Israel and to Joshua. We're going to pretend that we are from a far, far country." So what the Gibeonites did was they took old, moldy bread. They put on old, tattered clothing. They took old wineskins. They put on old sandals, and they pretended to be a people from a far, far country. So they came to the children of Israel. They said, "We come from a far, far country. Your fame is all throughout the land, and we do not want to be destroyed. So make a covenant with us." So the word says that the children of Israel did not inquire of the Lord. They inspected the moldy bread. They looked at the old wineskins, and they said, "Okay, we think these people are legit." So Joshua and the children of Israel made a covenant with the Gibeonites not to destroy them. What happened next? The children of Israel realized that they had lied. The Gibeonites had lied. They were just a people right next door to where the Israelites were. And so let's pick it up at Joshua chapter 9, verse 14 to 20. If you can bring that up on the screen. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14 to 20. "Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask the counsel of the Lord." And let's read through. "So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them." Verse 16. "And it happened at the end of the 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, and Kirjath Bearim." Verse 18. "But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation swore to them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation complained against them." Let's stop there for a second. You and I will find that as we try to do the things of the Lord, that sometimes we're going to face opposition. So you can understand the situation that they were in. These people, the Gibeonites, were deceptive. They lied to the children of Israel. And in today's terms, one would say, "I am not keeping my covenant with you because you deceived me and you lied to me." But this is not what happened with the children of Israel. They said, "We are going to keep the covenant." And the congregation, all the people, complained against the rulers of Israel because they still wanted to keep the covenant. So what was happening? The people were saying, "Don't keep a covenant with these people. They're liars. They're cheats. We don't keep covenants with liars and cheats. You're not obligated to keep your word in this circumstance. These people lied to you." But the children of Israel, the leaders of the land, said, "No, we must keep our covenant." So let's read on to verse 19 and 20 to close off this portion. Joshua chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. Then the ruler said to all the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest the wrath be upon us because of the oath which we have sworn to them." So understand that the children of Israel understood the importance of keeping one's word, of keeping a covenant, of keeping an oath, even though they faced opposition by the entire congregation, all the people that which they were leading. They said, no, unless wrath come upon us, we need to keep our word. So if we turn now to Joshua 10, we go now to Joshua 10. We're going to read verse 5 to 8. We're going to see what happened here. So we see now that the children of Israel, they honored their word, even though the Gibeonites lied to them and deceived them in making a covenant with them. So let's go to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to read verse 5 to 8 so we can understand what the Lord is trying to say to you and I. Therefore, the five kings, the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it. So what had happened prior to this was these kings said, listen, we need to band together and come against these Israelites. We need to band together to destroy them. But the Gibeonites said, not us. We know that they serve the living God. So we're going to go and make this covenant so that our lives will be spared. So all these kings said, well, the Gibeonites, they came against us. They've now made a covenant with our enemies. So we're not going to attack the children of Israel. We're going to attack the Gibeonites. So let's read on. Verse 6. We're going to go on to verse 6. Then the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Do not forsake your servant. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us." And this is what happens in verse 7. So Joshua, this is what should have happened, or in our mind, maybe should have happened. Joshua should have said, it serves you right. This is what you get for lying. This is what you get for deceiving us. The Lord is now punishing you. Now you have, instead of one army against you, you now have five. You have to now defend yourself because you are liars. That is not what Joshua did. As we're seeing in verse 7, it says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Next verse. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." So as we see here in the scriptures, Joshua made a covenant with a people that were deceptive. And because of that covenant, now they're being attacked by five armies. And these deceitful people now send message to Joshua to say, listen, we are being attacked. And Joshua could have said, we are not your people. You are not our people. We are here to do the Lord's work. We are here to do what God told us to do. We are to destroy the inhabitants of the land. But because of the word that Joshua gave, because of the covenant that he gave, the word says that he traveled all night with his army and defended the Gibeonites like they were his own people. Now, we need to understand what the Lord did in these verses. In Joshua chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 11 to 13. This is a very important part of the message that we're going to read tonight. Joshua chapter 10, let's go to 10. We're going to read verse 11 to 13. And it happened as all these armies, they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon these enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Now we have to understand something. This is not the children of Israel's war. They are defending a people that came to them and lied. And because of that lying deception, a covenant was made. But here we see in these verses, what is God doing? God himself is involved in this war. It said, in, as we just read, that God himself hailed down hailstones from heaven and killed more people that day in that battle than the children of Israel did with their own swords. So we have to sit back and ask ourselves, who is this God of ours? Should we not have said, well, you're absolved from this covenant, Joshua? These people are liars and deceivers. These are not people that we make covenant with. You can break your covenant because they are deceitful people. But we see the word says that never before and never after has anyone commanded the sun to stand still until the battle was done, like Joshua did that day, not in defending their own battle, but in defending the Gibeonites. So we need to understand something about God's ways. When we make a covenant, when we speak a word of covenant, the Lord God himself fights on our behalf. Our covenant becomes his covenant. So the Lord himself got involved in the battle to make sure the enemies of the Gibeonites were no more. They were wiped away off the face of the earth, and God and Joshua asked for the sun to stand still so this battle could be completed, and the Lord granted him that. So we need to understand that. As I saw that myself, I said, Lord, what kind of God are you? And how important are my words and your words when we make a covenant of any sort, either a covenant to you or to someone else? How important do you hold us to our word as you held Joshua to his word, even though there was deception that was brought about by the Gibeonites? So we need to understand, why was Joshua and the chiefs of the children of Israel so steadfast in keeping their covenant? Well, let's find out where that came from. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 30. We're going to read from verse 1 to 2. It says here, then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Stay there right now. Remember, and I'm speaking to us right now. We need to understand that this is a command of the Lord. It is not a suggestion. The word is saying that this is a command of the Lord. We can go to the next verse. And it says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So the Lord said to Joshua, as I have done for Moses, so I will do with you. I will be with you always. As we read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, as long as you keep my word and keep my commandments, I will be with you. I will prosper you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we understand now that Joshua and the chiefs of Israel, they knew that word. They meditated on that word. And they said, listen, I don't want destruction to come upon me. We made a covenant. It doesn't matter whether we were deceived or not. It doesn't matter who it was. We made a covenant, and we're going to stand by the covenant because we're representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we're talking about tonight is partnering with the Lord by keeping our word. So we can see that the Lord takes our word very seriously. And why does he? In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Lord says, let us create man in our own image and in our own likeness, and let them have dominion over everything that is on the earth. the important thing here is that God said he's creating us to be just like him, not the fallen man. This is the new creation. When we give our lives to God, the Lord says, listen, this was the original intent for you and I. You and I were to be little G's, little gods upon this realm. God came into this earth in Genesis chapter 1, and he saw that everything was void. There was nothing happening, and he spoke into being. He spoke the word, and his word became life. And the Lord said, I'm going to create mankind in my own image and in my own likeness. In other words, we are to act like him, we are to be like him, and when we speak, those words that we speak must stand. So the Lord wants you and I to understand that as we establish covenants, as we say to someone, listen, I am going to be there, you and I be there. We're making a covenant with someone. As we say that we're going to do something, the Lord says that you and I need to honor our word. Why? Because we are representative of him. We're ambassadors of the living God. And so we need to understand in this year, 2022, if we're going to experience the things the Lord spoke to Joshua about in Joshua chapter 1:1-9, that he will be with him, he will have much success. It starts with honoring the commandments of the Lord. And one of those commandments is, God says, if you make a vow to me, you better keep it. But if you make any vow to anyone, anything that you say, you must keep it. You know, this is something that my mother taught me when I was a child. She said, Dean, as much as you can, when you make a covenant with someone, when you make a promise that you're going to be someplace, try to be there. And she goes, you know, I know there are some times that we make covenants in haste. We make promises in haste. You know, can you come to my birthday party? I said, yes, I'll come to your birthday party, forgetting that I made another commitment someplace else. So my mother says to me, you know how you solve that? Show up at the first place. It doesn't mean that you have to be there for hours. It doesn't mean that you have to be there the whole time. Show up, give your gift, hug the necks of the people, celebrate with them for a little short time, and you say, listen, I have also made another commitment. I have to go. But I have kept my covenant. I was there. I wasn't there for a long time, but I showed up. I was present. And then I went on to the other commitment. You know, I'm speaking to men right now. You know, sometimes we make covenants just out of the blue, especially the men that are married. And we know that we're not the ones who keep the calendars. We know the calendar keepers are our wives. So I have learned over the years, when someone asks me, you know, something about something far out, you know, Dean, on February 15th, I'm having a get together. Can you make it? I say, you know what? I need to check with my wife. She's the one that keeps the calendar. And I say, Colette, are we doing anything on February 15th? And she will say to me, yes, it's actually my sister's son's birthday party on that day. And I'm like, okay. So I go back to the other person and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I cannot make it. I have other obligations on that day. Sometimes we have to be slow to making commitments and make sure that we can keep our word because we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the most amazing thing that the Lord has shown me in the word about who he is. So I want us to turn now to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I'll tie this together for you so you can see it clearly as the Lord showed me. 2 Samuel chapter 21, we're going to read verse 1-9. And it says, now there was a famine in the days of David. Now I just wanted to say to you, remember, this covenant was made with Joshua. He made the covenant with the Gibeonites. Joshua is dead and long gone. Every person that was alive in the children of Israel when he made that covenant, they're all gone. Every single one of them is dead. We're talking about generations later is what is now what we're reading. So let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1-9. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Let's move on to the next. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. So let's stop there for a second. So we have to understand this. This is many, many generations later. David, King David is now king. David is at the end of his reign, at the very end of his reign. There's a famine in the land, and he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord says, listen, this famine is happening to you, David. It is there because of a covenant that was broken in our lineage by Saul. Saul attacked the Gibeonites when Joshua had sworn protection over the Gibeonites. Let's pick up the word again. Therefore, David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said to him, we will have no silver or gold for Saul or his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us. So he said, whatever you say, I will do for you. Then they answered the king, as for the man who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel, let seven men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose. And the king said, I will give them. Verse 7. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, the two sons of Rizpah, and the daughter of Aiah, who she bore to Saul, and five sons of Michal, and the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Next verse. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. So they fell, all seven together, were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days of the beginning of the barley harvest. So you and I need to understand what is happening here. Our Lord God, our Father, is still keeping the covenant that was made generations and generations before by Jonathan, and he is still honoring that covenant generations later, even unto David, the throne that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to sit on the throne of David. There were still consequences. There was still drought in the land because the word was broken. So here's what David did, because he also understood that word. He had also made a covenant with Jonathan to say that he would spare certain members of his household. Mephibosheth was one of those members. So he said, I'm going to give over the men, but I also have to keep my word and my covenant that was made to the Lord. Are we understanding tonight the importance of keeping your word and keeping your covenant? God said, I am a covenant-keeping God. God said to Joshua that I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is what he said to him in Joshua chapter 1. Jesus comes to the earth and he says, I am also a covenant keeper. As my father said to Joshua that he is a covenant keeping God, I am also a covenant keeper. So what did Jesus do? Before he ascended, he said that I am going to go up, but I'm going to send another just like me, because God said to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that word also has to be established forever. So Jesus said through the disciples to us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he sent to us the Holy Spirit. So the covenant that the Lord commanded generations ago, thousands and thousands of years ago, he is still keeping that word today. So what is the responsibility for you and I? Well, we also have to be covenant keepers. We know the covenants of the Lord. We know what the word says. We know the Lord says that we should not kill, we should not covet. Those are yes, the laws that we should keep, the commandments. But the Lord says, if you're going to be my ambassador, a representative of me on this earth, then you also have to keep your covenant. Because we can see clearly there are consequences for not keeping covenant. Seven innocent people who did nothing, they did not do anything wrong, but for the covenant that was made generations before, David says, what do you want me to do for you? The Gibeonites said, I don't want silver. I don't want gold. I want to take revenge on the house of Saul. So I need seven men from his household. And seven innocent men died because of a covenant that was broken. I hope you and I are understanding clearly what the Lord is requiring from you and I this day. That if we're going to be people that are going to partner with God this year, that we have to be covenant-keeping people unto the Lord. We have to be people that keep our word everywhere that we go. I will tell you a quick story. I was working in the workplace a couple of years ago. I was acquiring companies. I was working in the M&A, mergers and acquisitions area. And someone said to me, you know, Dean, you know, you do everything honestly. You know, to get these deals done quicker, you know, it's okay to tell a little white lie sometimes. It'll just take things and get things done quicker. So I said to the individual, every company that we've acquired so far, we've always asked the owners of those companies to join us for a couple of years until we learn their business. And I said, if I lie to these individuals, and when they come on board and understand that I lied to them, what credibility am I going to have in working with these individuals going forward? They're going to say, I cannot trust this guy. He lied to me to get my company, and now he wants to work with me. I don't want to work with him. So I said to the person, there are many ways to get things done, and I will get things done the right way. I don't need to lie. You know, we are going to be put under pressure to do things the world's way, to do things the way the world wants it. Even Christians, here we have the children of Israel who knew the covenant, who knew what the command was. Moses didn't speak it to Joshua in secret. He said, if you make a covenant with the Lord or with anyone, you should keep that. But they said, you know, they got angry. They got angry with the chiefs of the of Israel. They said, you don't need to keep the covenant with these people. These people are liars. So we need to establish two things here. The Lord is trying to show us clearly. So the first covenant that Joshua made was with Rahab. Who was Rahab? Rahab was described as a harlot. So the Lord is trying to show us, it doesn't matter if you're making a covenant with a harlot, if you're making a covenant with people who lie and deceive, like the Gibeonites, if you're making a covenant with a child or an adult, you're making a covenant. And those covenants must be kept. Joshua understood that. Joshua understood. He didn't make the covenant with Rahab. The men who went to spy out the land made that covenant. They came back and advised Joshua what they did. And Joshua said, you betcha, we're going to honor that covenant. We are a covenant-keeping people because we serve a covenant-keeping God. And if we want God to keep the covenants and the things that we put dear in our hands to him, then we have to be people that also keep covenants. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 20, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. It says here, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though people were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So this is my first thing to us here. Let us be reconciled to God. This is part of the reconciling process. The Lord is speaking to some of us right now who's out there. He's bringing to your memory. Yep, you made that covenant and you have not kept it. You said this and you continue not to keep your word. People don't even call on you anymore because you tend not to keep your word. They said, we won't bother with this person. They never keep their word. We're not even gonna ask them to do things anymore. So let us be reconciled unto God. Let's reconcile all the things that are not happening in our lives. And let's move to the next verse. And it says here, for he For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the plan of God is for us to be representations of him. We are the righteousness of God. And if we are going to profess that we are the righteousness of God, we have to be covenant keepers. We have to be keepers of our word. So this is what the Lord is trying to say to you and I. You know, I'll tell you a very difficult covenant that I knew to keep based on the teaching of my parents. There was a person who came to me once. This person was having financial problems, very bad, couldn't pay their bills, couldn't pay so on. And they got into a car accident and totaled their car. And I knew this person needed a vehicle. They had two kids and had to take them to school and do different things, had to go to their work. So I said to this individual, listen, I'm going to find you a secondhand car. I'm not going to pay a lot of money for it, but I'm going to make sure it's working well and make sure it can run properly. I went on and I searched on the internet and I found a car in the very city that that person was residing in. And I said, listen, I found this vehicle. I was excited about it. I found this vehicle. I'm going to pay for this vehicle for you so you have no car payments. You're going to have a vehicle. I found this vehicle. Go and take a look at it. The person says to me, what kind of vehicle is it? And I said, what kind of vehicle it was. And you know what the response was? I don't like that vehicle. I don't really like that kind of vehicle. You know, it's hard to see out of the back when I reverse. And, you know, I really don't like that. There was no appreciation. There was no gratitude. There was no, you know, that's a nice vehicle. Thank you so much. But if we could find another vehicle in that same price range, but this kind of vehicle, none of that. It was just total unappreciation for what I was doing. And I was so angry at the response. I at first decided, forget it then. I withdraw my offer to you. And while I was home, the Lord spoke to me and said, you made a covenant. You need to honor your covenant. So rather than spending my time, which is valuable, to continue to search for the vehicle, what I did was I said, this was the amount of money that I had allotted to purchase this vehicle for you. I am going to give the funds to you. You can decide to purchase whatever you desire with it. I tell you, I was angry. I was disappointed. I was dismayed at the response, but I still kept my word. So I said, here's the value of what I was going to buy for you. You take it and you do whatever you want with it. Sometimes things are not going to be easy. They're not going to be clear cut. If I was to speak to 10 people to say, this is what happened, and if I said, I withdrew my offer, people would say you are justified in withdrawing that offer. This person did not have any gratitude. They didn't appreciate anything. They don't deserve the kindness. But above and beyond that, we have to keep our word. It's difficult sometimes. It's hard sometimes to keep our word, but it's a requirement of the Lord. In fact, it is a command of the Lord for us to do so. This is the word that I have for us tonight. As we are in this year 2022, the Lord says we need to keep his word. We are ambassadors of the living God, and if we're going to represent him, we have to represent him fully in every aspect of what we do in our life. There are no shortcuts to representing Christ. We have to represent him in the same manner that he is representing us, because we were made in his image and in his likeness. This is the word that the Lord has given to me to give to us this evening, that we need to continue to partner with the living God by keeping our word. Our word is a covenant, and we need to keep our covenant. So that's the word that we have for tonight. And I do have some prayer points for us to pray through. I pray tonight, and I've prayed earlier, that the Lord will open up our mind of understanding to keep this word. I know that the Lord is revealing to some of us right now areas where we made covenants. In some cases, we can still make good on our covenants, and I would encourage you to make good on those covenants that you can still keep. But for those who are far gone, that we're not able to, we're going to ask the Lord to intervene on our behalf right now and to forgive us for not keeping our word and help us to be covenant keepers as we continue in this year of 2022. So I have four prayer points for us to pray over tonight. The first thing that we're going to pray over is, Lord, forgive us for not keeping our covenants. So we have to repent before the Lord, all of us. None of us are innocent of this. We have all said things that we have not done, we intended to do, but for whatever reason we did not do. And the Lord is saying to us that we need to repent so we can have a clean slate with him of that. So again, the first prayer point is, Lord, forgive us for not keeping your covenants, for not keeping your commandments. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Lord, we put ourselves at your mercy seat, Father God. And Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ to help us, Father God. Forgive us. Forgive us, Father God, for not honoring your word, Father God. Your commandment said that if we make a covenant, that we need to keep the covenants before you, Father God. So Lord, forgive us. Any time in the past that we spoke in an error, that we spoke in too soon, too quickly, any time that we did not meet our covenants through anger or disappointment or whatever reason, Father God, Lord, we ask you right now, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over those situations, Father God, and we ask you to wipe the slate clean, Father God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Father God, for not being proper representations of you, Father God. Forgive us for not being covenant keepers, Father God. Forgive us of not understanding the gravity, Father God, of our words. We are not just simple human beings, Father God. We were made in your image and in your likeness, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to wipe the slate clean in our lives right now, Father God, that we can be people of honor and people that keep our covenants before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The next thing we're going to pray about is, Lord, help us to partner with you by keeping your covenants. So we want to partner with the Lord. This is the theme for the entire month. As we partner with God, the Lord will also partner with us. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he continues to keep his covenant. So we said, Lord, we also want to be like you. We also want to be covenant keepers. We are in your likeness and in your image. So we're going to say, Lord, help us to keep your covenant. Help us to keep your covenant. So Father God, we come before you right now. As we lift our hand before you, Father God, it's an act of surrender, Father God. It's an act of submission to say, Father God, we can do nothing without you, Father God. Lord, there is nothing that we can accomplish outside of your will, outside of your grace and your mercies, Father God. Lord, give us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father God, to be able to keep your word, to be able to keep your commandments, to be able to keep our words, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We surrender our thoughts and our actions and our minds to you, Father God. Help us, Father God, in the areas that we're weak, Father God. Help us, Father, we ask you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be covenant keepers before you, Father God. That, Lord, when we come before you, Father God, and ask you to help us, Lord, that, Lord, you will act on our behalf, just like you acted on the behalf of Joshua. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. The third thing we're going to pray about tonight is that the Lord to help us to recognize who we are in him, that we are made in his image and in his likeness. Listen, this is what Satan is trying to do to you and I. It's no different than what he tried to do to Adam and Eve. He made them believe that they were not like God. They were not, God was not with them. God did not love them. And they decided to eat the fruit. When in fact, God created them in his likeness and in his image, as he also created us. And the enemy is trying to make us feel like we are nothing, that we're not made in the image of God, that we can just do whatever we want to do, that we're not responsible for anything, or we're just human, and human sin, that is garbage. The Lord says that he can help us to do what we're supposed to do on this earth. This is why we have Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he sent Holy Spirit to us so that we can operate in all truth. We can understand everything. So we're asking the Lord right now, help us to recognize who we are in you. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, for the gift of salvation, Father God. Lord, we understand, Father God, that we were born in sin, but Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, Father God, that we might be a new creation in you, Father God. And because we're a new creation, Father God, then, Lord, we can operate in your image and in your likeness once again, Father God. You have removed the curse because we have accepted you, and we are joint heirs with you, Father God. So, Lord, we ask you right now to help us to recognize who we are. Help us to recognize the power of our words. Help us to recognize how you honor covenants, Father God. Help us, Father God, to see, Father God, that we're not mere human beings. You have given us the power of words, Father God, the power to change circumstances in our lives, the power, Father God, to make everything that is void, Father God, to establish greatness in it, Father God. So, Lord, as you reveal yourself to us, Father God, you're actually showing us who you have desired for us to be even before the foundation of the world. So, Father, I ask you, Father God, that we will take off all excuses, take off the fact that we're mere human, Father God, and recognize that we are ambassadors of the living God. And if we're ambassadors of you, Father God, then, Lord, there's an expectation upon our life to operate in the spirit of excellence. So, Lord, I ask you right now for the spirit of excellence to come upon your people, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that we are now covenant-keeping people, Father God, because you died for us. And Father God, we were buried with you, and we're raised and we're seated right now in heavenly places, Father God. Therefore, Father God, we have access to you, Father God. You've given us the grace and strength to do what you've commanded us to do according to your word, Father God. So we thank you, Father God, right now that through your word, we're recognizing who we are and whose we are, the covenant-keeping God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. The last thing that we're going to pray tonight is help us to be strong and courageous, realizing that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, if you look at Joshua chapter 1, the Lord God said to Joshua about 6 or 7 times in those passages of scripture, he said, Joshua, be very strong and be very courageous. I'm trying to tell you, saints, in this life, in this time that we're in, where there is so much compromise, we have to be strong and we have to be courageous in order to stand for what is right in God. You know, Joshua could have caved in under the pressure of the people saying, you know, we do not need to honor these Gibeonites, these liars, these deceivers. He could have broken under the pressure of what they were doing, but he said, no, it's not about you. It's the fact that if we do not keep the covenant that we've made, some destruction is going to come upon us from the Lord, because we know that our God is a covenant-keeping God. And he commanded us through the mouth of Moses that we need to keep our covenants with God and the covenants with people. So sometimes we have to stand alone. Sometimes you and I have to be courageous. Sometimes you and I have to say, okay, yes, it's going to cost me money. It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me energy, but I'm still going to keep my covenant. I'm not going to get a lot of sleep tonight, but I'm still going to honor my covenant that I've made, because I'm a covenant-keeping person before the Lord. So we're going to pray to the Lord. Lord, help us to be strong and courageous in this world that is full of compromise, so that we can stand strong, so that we can receive the blessings of the Lord. So, Father God, we come before you one more time. And, Father God, help us, Lord, in this time and in this season, Father God, this entire year, for the rest of our lives, Father God, to be strong and to be courageous before you, Father God, not to listen to voices that say we should compromise, that we can lie, that we can tell little white lies, that we don't have to do the things that we say. Lord, that we'll ignore those things, that we will be strong and courageous in you, just like you said to Joshua. Lord, you knew the opposition that Joshua would face. You knew the things that he had to do, Father God, and you said to him, if you be strong, Joshua, if you be courageous before me, then, and you keep my covenant, and I will bless you. Wherever you go, you will be blessed, and I will be with you always. So Lord, I pronounce the same over our lives. As we begin to partner with you, as we begin, Father God, to shut out the voices that say that we should compromise, as we begin to stand on your word, Father God, as we begin to partner and say, Lord, as you are a covenant-keeping God, so am I. I am also a covenant-keeping person, Father God, because I represent you. So Lord, I ask you to help us to be people that shuns, Father God, compromise. People that keep our word, even if it costs us something, Father God, so that we can receive the full blessings of the living God upon our lives. So, Father God, we thank you right now that, Lord, you've heard our word, Father God. You've heard our confessions. We've asked you, Father God, to forgive us. So help us now, Father God. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, who enables us to do all things through Christ Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that is due unto your name. Praise the Lord. So saints, I pray that this word is received in your heart as the Lord revealed this to me through the reading. As I read and I remembered what happened with the Gibeonites, and I came to 2 Samuel to see that the Lord on the throne has not forgotten. He is still keeping the covenant that was made generations and generations later. The Lord said, oh my goodness, if you can understand this principle, if we as his people can understand this principle, how much blessings will be bestowed upon us this year as we try to be covenant-keeping people with our God. You know, there's only two things in life, two commandments, love the Lord our God and love mankind. And the Lord says, according to Moses in Numbers chapter 30, verse 1 and 2, he says, if you make a covenant to the Lord or a covenant with man, same two things. If you make a covenant with the Lord, you better keep it. Or if you make any oath or any other covenant with anyone else, you better keep it, because our Lord is a covenant-keeping God. So I pray today that this word has spoken to your heart as it did mine, that the Lord will continue to reveal himself to you through his word as he has done. And I encourage you to go back and read through Joshua chapter 1 and get the full story for yourself. We didn't have time tonight to read through all the verses, but it's very important to understand how the Gibeonites approached, what they did, what they said, and the full response of Joshua and the children of Israel. So we pray right now that the Lord will just speak to our hearts. If there are things that you and I can correct right now through the leading of the Lord, I pray that you make good on the covenants that you've made. And if you cannot, we've already prayed for the Lord to forgive us, to wipe the slate clean, that there will be no issues for us in the future for the covenants that were broken. And we believe that if we've asked the Lord for forgiveness, that he's forgiven us so that we can operate in his fullness as we move forward. So right now, We're going to take our tithes or offerings right now. For those who haven't paid them their tithes today, the information is up on the screen. Take this time to sow a seed. It's important. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and said, yes, we have broken promises, and now the Lord, we've asked the Lord for forgiveness, let's sow a seed to say, Lord, I'm sowing a seed into what I've asked you to do. I know that you are a covenant-keeping God. And you said in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're going to sow a seed to the Lord tonight to say, Lord, I want to be a covenant-keeping person before you. I want to keep your commandments, and I want to keep my word, because my word has power associated to it. And I'm an ambassador of the living God. So I must be a demonstration of who God is by keeping my word. So the information on the screen, please take the time now to give your offering to the Lord and thank him for his mercies and his goodness towards us. Amen. So now it's time for us to take our communion before the Lord. You know, every time I do this, as I said before, I think about what Jesus said, that he will not take this communion with us until we're with him again. So we await that time. Our hearts, our spirit waits for that time of the return of our God. But in the meantime, he said, Do this oftentimes in remembrance of me, the sacrifice I made, the life I came to live on this earth, the steps I showed you how to live, and the fact that I've kept my covenant with you, that I've gone to be with the Father, but I've sent the Holy Spirit to be with you. So we thank God for his body that was broken for you and I, that you and I can be whole in every single aspect of our lives. That includes keeping our word by covenanting with the Lord. Let's eat. And tonight we were able to ask God for his forgiveness, to forgive us for not keeping our word, and that is only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ covers sin. If we confess before him, that sacrifice that Jesus Christ made enables us to come boldly before the throne of grace before him to ask for forgiveness. So we thank God that he sent his son to us to die on the cross, that we might have this privilege before him to ask for forgiveness and to receive forgiveness right away. You see, it's one thing to ask for forgiveness. We also have to receive forgiveness. It's one thing to ask to be healed. We also have to receive the healing. So this is an important step. You know, we know what Jesus Christ did on the cross, but there's a receiving that needs to happen. So just like you've received the word tonight to understand that we need to keep our word, we also need to receive forgiveness, that the enemy doesn't come and tell us that we're not forgiven, that we're not really forgiven. So we thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, that enables us to be forgiven and to be free from sin. Let's drink. Well, saints, we thank God for this time together with you. We've had such a wonderful week of speakers this week. I tell you, the words were short, but they were powerful and they've been meaningful. What an amazing topic for the year, to partner with the living God. And I guarantee you, you know, that was put in the heart of Apostle that this would be the theme, and everyone who's come have added to that partnership with the Lord. And I pray that tonight was also a blessing to you. So I want to say blessings to you all this week. May the Lord be with you. May he surround you with his goodness. May he protect you with his peace. Father God, we just thank you for everyone who is online and who's on Zoom right now, Father God. Lord, I pray your blessings over their lives right now, Father God. I ask you, Father God, to intervene in their situations right now, Father God. Make us, Father God, and mold us into your image and your likeness. Let your people prosper in your name, Father God, as we partner with you, God, Father God. We know that you're partnering with us, Father God, that your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us, even until the end of the age. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor and praise that is due unto your name. And we ask you, Father God, as we start this week of work again, Father God, may you bless the work of our hands. Cause us, Father God, to prosper in everything that we do. Let your grace and your mercies shine upon us, Father God, as we demonstrate that we are the people of God, ambassadors of Christ, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight, and we'll see you again tomorrow night, same time, as we have another wonderful speaker that will continue the same theme with us, partnering with the living God. God bless you, love you, and we'll see you again.